Hello, it's Your Politics, RTE's weekly politics podcast. I'm Áine Lawler. With me, my colleagues, Fiacra O'Kiani, Juliette Gash and Micheál Lehane. Fiacra, the bike shed is back, baby.
Yeah, the bike shed is back in a big way and kind of an unexpected way, really, because it's a story that people might will remember from coming the lead up to the general election. It caused something of a kerfuffle, we could say, in terms of the costs. Some €340,000 spent on a bike shelter, and also the political implications from it. This was something the government said, look, we'll have an audit, we'll have a review into it, but it's going to be after the general election. But that audit, that review has been published in the past couple of hours, and you know, it's like a lot of different audits and reviews, it's not found anyone to blame, but it has found that terrible phrase that always comes up about lessons will be learned. So it said that there are value for money systems in place, just they weren't really followed on this occasion. And the value for money systems include, you know, having a clear cost breakdown of what it will cost, a clear kind of why it's needed, and then also an option of not proceeding if needs be. And it also said, that there's also concerns about an absence of clear financial controls. I think that's pretty obvious from the controversy that was caused by it. And this report, it's 35 pages, not too long, but you won't be surprised to hear this because it does come up a lot of times in these reports. Nobody has been named, nobody has been blamed in particular for this.
And again, we're back to systems failures. Internal audit system within the department, questions about whether there was enough communication going on, questions about the level of seniority of the person who'd be looking for the cost-benefit analysis.
Well, that's exactly it. And, these are questions that are going to start coming up in the Public Accounts Committee. I was speaking in the past few minutes with Aidan Farrelly and Cathy Bennett. They're two PAC members, one for the Social Democrats and one for Sinn Féin. And they're saying, now, this is going to be towards the top of their agenda, which is already a pretty pretty weighty agenda, that they want to find out not just what happens, but how do you prevent it from happening in the future and who specifically was at fault for this? Because bottom line, on these reports, they don't just come out of nowhere. Somebody signed off on this.
You'd have to wonder, though, Micheál, wouldn't you? I mean, this is on projects below 500,000, because there's a whole different set of procedures and more scrutiny for projects over 500,000. Although if it's a magic project like the Children's Hospital, we'll see the cost can run away there too. But you'd wonder whether we're going to end up with more red tape, more procedures and more of the kind of process delays that, you know, government politicians in particular are so frustrated by.
Yeah, I suppose when it comes to building a bike shed, though, at Leinster House, maybe that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. How bad could it be? There's a few things along the way that were strange in all of this, though, because, I mean, initially there had been an idea that there is an area between government buildings and Leinster House where bikes could be parked, but apparently there were security concerns about that, and that just seemed to fall by the wayside, and none of the politicians seemed to know that. That whole idea of communications between the OPW and Leinster House seemed to fall down along the way. And then as this thing really gained momentum, there was a feeling, well, if we're going to do it, we might as well do it right. And it's below 500,000, so plow on. And what the report talks about today is about aligning the structure with the fabric of the existing building in the centre of Dublin. So that really was open country, wasn't it, to fire ahead and get it right?
Right. Aligning the structure with the fabric.
With the fabric, the structure and the fabric,
It's amazing they didn't actually hit the 500,000 then, because sometimes when you give your builder a quote, he'll be like, oh, I can hit that, all right.
You cycled in today. Did you get to use the bike shed?
Sadly, no. No, I came in the Kildare Street entrance, so I'm parked illegally, actually, on campus.
The bike shed is well used out the back now, though, isn't it? At the start, people seem to be reluctant to put their bikes there now, but it's well stocked.
It is, yeah. And I mean, again, the thing is, it's, as we all know, beautiful weather at the moment. So the shelter part of it is kind of moot. But again, the thing that people have constantly said is it doesn't really provide the shelter. It's a lovely structure, but it's very open with a
There's a roof so the wind and the rain can blow in.
What did the former OPW minister say? There was a lot to be said for putting a plastic bag over the saddle, wasn't it? Patrick O'Donovan, who was OPW minister at the time.
Yes, of course. He's also looking into the that laser, that X-ray machine at the National Gallery. Yes, and of course there's still the question of the Arts Council.
And waiting a report on that.
Yes, still waiting. Driving test delays were exercising. Seeing as how we're on the topic of transport, let's move from bikes to cars and the delays in getting a driving test. We had the Minister of State at the Department of Transport yesterday.
Super Minister, Super Junior.
And talk to us about the commitment he made, Micheál, and why someone might consider that was a brave thing to do.
A very brave minister, wasn't it? 10 weeks, he thinks he can get the waiting times down to, they're about 27 weeks at the moment, but loads of anecdotal evidence from TDs that it's running at 40 weeks and above it. Padraig Rice of the Social Democrats saying it's easier to become an astronaut waiting time wise than it is to get a driving test. And people referencing different things. I think Owen Kenny, who's the Labour TD from Cork North Central, talking about a person, a young person who he knows who can't become a paramedic because he just has been waiting too long to get that driving test. An extraordinary story too, mentioned by Fianna Fáil's Shane Moynihan, that someone went to Georgia to get a driving test and was able to convert the licence, and that was the way around it.
So it's quicker and easier to get, if you want to get your pass your driving test, to go to Georgia than it is to join the queue in
Ireland. Yeah,
I think
you can go abroad for your hair, your teeth, and now for your driving test as well.
That's all kind of, you know, it's obviously a huge real world concern for a lot of people, but of even bigger concern, the opposition are feeling that there's another children's health scandal in the offing, and this is with the audit that's been going on. It's an audit into 2 years, isn't it,
that's
of
right.
hip dysplasia surgeries, and whether there were enough medical grounds for those surgeries being carried out, and the concern that this goes back 15 years. That it involves letters, we learned yesterday, wasn't it, Juliet?
That's right.
Letters have gone out to the parents of 2,200 children.
Yeah.
So the opposition concern is to see this audit clearly, to know the facts, and do we have another health scandal here of children getting unnecessary operations?
It would appear from this remove that we do. As you mentioned, 2,259, I think it was, letters went out to families going back 15 years. Now, this was explained by Helen McEntee today during Leaders' Questions, when she took Leaders' Questions, saying that it's the age of maturity of skeletal development. So that's why it's going back that far. However, this review is only looking at 2021 to 2023, and it's only looking at a sample number of cases. But elements of the draft report have been leaked, and they would suggest that 60% of operations in one hospital, 80% in another, did not meet the necessary threshold of requiring surgery. And so all these families are left in the dark as to whether their child did require the surgery, or many of those families. And because this is a randomised sample and an anonymised sample, they will still be left in the dark when the report is published, we expect, at the end of next week.
Mm-hmm. So the Taoiseach has been saying the government, it's the government's concern just as much as the opposition's to find out what went wrong here. And we still have to await the findings of the audit. As you say, there have been leaks. It's still after the scoliosis scandal. I mean, there have been various other health scandals over the years, but particularly involving children. This one has the potential, doesn't it, to, you know, provide plenty of work, certainly for the Health Committee, and a lot of headaches for the Health Minister, Fiacre.
Well, it really is a lot of headaches. Firstly, of course, for families we'll be concerned about, but secondly, for the Health Minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill. You know, it is really her first big challenge on this. There are other issues that always come up in health, but this particular issue, and also the spinal surgeries issue, for the exact reason that you pointed out, this is something that that the general public will hear it, families will hear it, and they'll be concerned themselves, and they'll know exactly why those concerns exist. I think there's really two big stages for this now. Secondly, the Taoiseach Micheál Martin has made it clear that the report's going to be published towards the end of next week. And then secondly, we now know how many letters were sent out. Governments appearing to try and downplay that a bit, say, look, it's 2,200.
And
maybe
the number
not
of
all
letters
of those
sent
are affected.
Out does not
exactly
equal the number of unnecessary surgeries that may have been taking place.
Yes, but there is still a concern, and it was raised by Cian O'Callaghan of the Social Democrats in particular at Leaders' Questions today, saying, well, firstly, that figure wasn't just given out by government themselves. They had to drag that out, was the words that Cian O'Callaghan used. And secondly, he said, well, look, now you know the number of letters sent out, how many people are affected by this? Because, you know, it's not going to be a small number, you would imagine, if it's 2,200 people being contacted.
And that's the charge that Piers Doherty was making too. He says that as of now, there is no way set down by government as to how people will find out. The only question that really matters is whether or not their child did have unnecessary surgery. And he detailed cases of people going to the US, people going to London, paying themselves to try and find out to get this second opinion quite early. So I suppose that will be the next thing. And he seems to be suggesting that the audit in itself probably won't reveal and won't give an answer to that particular question.
Certainly, lands Children's Health Ireland, which is at the centre of a number of controversies. It lands them at the centre of another one, probably, in having to account for all of this, how it happened, and also the communication with families and who knew what when.
Yes, and even on that question of the letter, which quite clearly is a follow, is a recommendation, an early recommendation from the audit. Even in, it was kind of strange in the Dáil yesterday that the Taoiseach seemed to be suggesting that it was as a result of the leaked draft audit that that's what led to the letters being sent out. It isn't. I mean, the letter itself says this is an early recommendation from the clinical audit. So a thing that was deemed medically necessary to do so.
These are, yeah, these are the kinds of issues that, you know, in all the other kind of political bickering that goes on, it really lands, it really plants a punch. And it means that, once again, we've questions going on about, which, you know, have to do directly with people being able to have confidence when they go into hospital, that they'll be dealt with openly and they'll get information if anything goes wrong in a timely manner. And this is the common thread, isn't it, through all the various controversies that go on. Mistakes will happen. It's the timely communication and rectifying of those mistakes.
Well, I used to cover health for a number of years previously in the Irish Examiner and before that as well. And this is the key issue that always comes up, like in any kind of health scandal. Like, it, and it's something that both the former Taoiseach and former health minister, Leo Varadkar, and the former health minister and current Taoiseach, Simon Harris, both raised. It's open disclosure. It's to say, look, when you've made a mistake, first thing you should do is, you know, tell the patient and say, you know, this is what happened. Yeah. And in most cases, that may be enough to kind of address it. But human nature being what it is, while that would be best practice, it's not what people do. Most of the time, what people tend to do is say, well, you know, defend themselves first. And that oftentimes, in general terms, in terms of health crises, it adds to the crisis.
And not being crass about it, but like on pure political terms, I mean, it is the ultimate test very early now for Jennifer Carol McNeill. And it goes back to that Brian Cowan statement about helping like Angola and landmines going off. And it is one of them. And so the next week is kind of crucial in her political career as well, that expectation that she will have that clinical audit before the end of next week and how things are handled then.
And there's always a tension, isn't there, whenever there, you know, there is a row, a major controversy in health. There's a tension between the government and the health authorities trying to establish the actual facts so that anything that is said in public can be stood over and can be accounted for, making sure that everybody involved, you know, has all had the T's crossed and the I's dotted and all the rest. And equally then you have, you know, the opposition representing a public that's, you know, baying for more answers. So there is always that tension there.
And it is an opposition that's being inundated with calls from parents. So that's why, I mean, it's top of the political agenda here for the last 3 days. And the big charge being made by the Social Democrats deputy leader, Kino Callan, as he sees it, is that the government are engaged in what he's calling plausible deniability. That's strongly denied. The government said they just need to get the answers.
Well, it's one we'll hear more on next week, certainly. One thing we're not hearing too much on, Micheál, is progress over tariffs and the trade talks between... Well, they're not really going on, are they, between the EU and the US?
No, just trickling along. And Simon Harris arrived in Brussels seeking to inject urgency into the process today and delivering that message. And I suppose also saying that there are particular concerns from an Irish point of view. And where do they stand really in relation to the countermeasures, particular emphasis on aviation? But I think you can see and you can sense around here that it's not just the fact that the committees have taken a long time to get rolling. It's not just the fact that summer is clearly very near now, approaching that recess. It is the fact that, that the great big issue are the tariffs, are that unresolved piece. And until that happens, no real business or no real planning for the future can take place.
And we had Pascal Donoghue last week, didn't we, Fiacre, talking about the potential hit to the economy from the US tariffs. We don't know whether we're going to end up on a 10% rate. We don't know whether the countermeasures are going to be brought in. There's certainly been some flip-flopping with China, but on the other hand, the EU still seems to be at the back of Donald Trump's queue.
Well, that's certainly the case. And Simon Harris, when he was speaking in Brussels to reporters earlier today, he was trying to maybe set a kind of calmer tone. He was saying, look, you know, we're 37 days now into the 90-day pause in the tariffs discussion. Maybe now is the time for real talks between the EU and the US. And he actually referenced the US and UK situation, the thawing maybe of the trade war between the US and China, and saying, look, well, maybe the EU could have something like this as well. In terms of Ireland, though, and in terms of what Pascal Donoghue was saying, there is still the real risk, firstly, to jobs. Secondly, in terms of the budget, which is a number of months away still, but you know what exactly is going to be in it. Government has made it very clear they're not going to have a cost of living kind of package in it that they did before the general election, which the opposition still wants to have. But they had been saying last week that maybe there would be cost curtailment issues and maybe kind of some tax changes. They're not absolutely baked in as yet, because if the tariffs issue goes wrong, then you know maybe our pockets aren't going to be helped by that situation.
Mm-hmm. Are there Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil speaking with one voice in all of this, Micheál?
I think the official line is that this hasn't been discussed formally since the last budget, but in the aftermath of those talks, there was a kind of an agreement that that would be the last of the big cost of living packages, because if they didn't stop this time, they would have to become part of every budget, and that it wasn't sustainable to have up to 14 billion, which was allocated over a number of budgets, that just couldn't continue. At the same time, people do know when they go shopping every week that the prices are still going up, and people continue to feel that. And I think they will look on at Leinster House and they will say, well, it's just because there isn't an election. That's why it's not happening here. That will be how many people will view it, especially as they look at costs going up. The Taoiseach saying that there is an awareness in government that costs remain, in his words, at an elevated level, but he was speaking about things like social protection and also taxation, with a particular focus on children and families, that it would be through that route that the budget would look at it. But I think it will become harder if people go into the autumn and they still see things like energy and groceries, to use Donald Trump's word, being high. That is a tension.
Mm-hmm. And Neil Richmond talking about this during the week as well. Fine Gael's Neil Richmond.
Yeah, Neil Richmond very clearly exercised by this, but I think across the political spectrum there is a hope in government they can ride this wave, things like school books being free now and the like, but that probably doesn't cut it for people as they're struggling to pay the bills.
Yeah, and it's, you know, food bills, insurance,
and energy is still
energy,
there.
Energy, it's still, what, are we the third highest in Europe?
Yeah, well,
it's somewhere up at the top anyway. And
Jack Chambers clearly saying today that they are not going to be giving us those tax credits anymore. It's not going to be broad brush strokes. It will be targeted very specifically at, Micheál mentioned children, but that we cannot expect those in the winter when we've got our higher bills coming in. Ever higher bills coming in, and with the tariff landscape so unclear. I mean, we're halfway through this 90-day period, and the only progress we've seen is what the tit for tat may be, and that's it. There haven't been, as far as we know, substantive negotiations. However, we can probably take some sucker from the fact that Donald Trump does like to be seen to make big deals. We saw it with the UK, and so will that happen? I think, you know, we had fun with that. That acronym from David McWilliams with his...
I was just thinking of that at the weekend. Yes,
Trump
with Richard
always... I'm almost afraid to say it, like it's jinxing it. Like if he heard us say this, then we'd be in trouble. But Trump always chickens out. Taco. And so whether, you know, we saw him pull back massively with China, but will that happen with Europe? And there's still a lot of negotiating to happen.
Yes, Trump always... Well, there was certainly a fair bit of flip-flopping with China this week on
absolutely.
The tariffs, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. On the other hand, it would be... I think Brussels would probably have a bit more confidence if there was a bit more jaw-jawing going on about the whole thing at the moment.
If there was a bit more jaw-jawing, a bit more talking going on, I'd say they might do. But I would say it is... If you look back at Donald Trump's... his track record, shall we say, in business, which is checkered at times, some people might say, that he does tend to do this, where he looks for the outlandish thing, and then he'll, when people freak out about the outlandish thing, understandably, he tends to kind of say, oh, okay, give me half of it. And then he thinks that he's still got a real win from what he's really looking for. But now that is presuming that he, presuming a level of depth to his strategy.
Yeah. Actually, it's interesting, though, isn't it, this week, and it's not a Leinster House matter, but although there is a protest about the situation in Gaza going on outside Leinster House at the moment, a small protest. There'll be a protest as well tonight, I think, Micheál, won't there? There's one expected at RTE, or because it's round two. Ireland, of course, in there, hoping to make it through to the final, but Israel also competing tonight. Mm. And that controversy about Israel's membership. But Donald Trump's plans, Micheál, to end either the wars in Ukraine or Israel's bombardment of Gaza and start getting aid back in, seems to be going pretty much nowhere at the moment.
Yeah, and he's walking back from it, really, and not being centrally involved in the negotiations, despite an expectation that that could have happened this week. So despite those big promises, these intractable, deadly wars are continuing. And I think you see that in the impact of that around here as well. I mean, particularly in relation to that big political item that is still there. Well, there's two of them, isn't there? There's the Occupied Territories Bill, and the protests here are constant about moving quickly on that. That doesn't seem imminent. And then last weekend as well, we saw the Irish Neutrality League, which does have the potential, you feel, to become a big political issue in the lead into the summer with Simon Harrison, that he would bring the draft proposals around that, those changes to the triple lock to cabinet before the end of the month.
And that question of trade with Israel, that's also an EU. I mean, it's not just for us. Simon Harris is trying to talk to other European countries.
Particularly his Spanish counterpart, and that's all part of that growing that coalition, as he sees it, within the EU to support the people of Israel, and discussions with the Spanish trade minister on that question today. As, of course, Ireland and Spain did write many, many months ago now, seeking to move that or advance that. That doesn't seem to be making a lot of progress, though.
He did make that point repeatedly last week, that while there is the, you know, they are still looking at the Occupied Territories Bill in perhaps I don't want to say watered down, because he has criticised that term, but other people have said a watered down Occupied Territories Bill. So he said another lever that they can pull is having some influence at European level, that will be much stronger. And so he's raising this EU-Israel Association Agreement, and will be raising it formally with other foreign affairs ministers, because essentially at the core of this agreement, the trading agreement, is a level of human rights provisions, which he says are clearly in violation by Israel. And why is more not being done on that deal as a result?
Although I suppose an example of how divided Europe is on this question, and why the Taoiseach may find it difficult to make headway, is you have the suggestion from the Austrian foreign minister, I think, this week, that Israel and Canada would join in an economic zone with the European Union as part of the response to tariffs. So there's a huge push-pull. We had Josep Borrell, didn't we, the former EU foreign policy chief, pointing out at the weekend and condemning what's happening in Gaza, that 50% of the munitions, and it's three times the explosive power of the Hiroshima bomb, have been dropped on Gaza at this stage. And 50% of those munitions coming from Europe.
Yeah. And that's a difficulty. We're so at odds with so much of Europe in Ireland in terms of our stance, that it's very hard to see the case being won.
At a European level.
Yeah.
But equally, no matter how much the government does, Micheál, on the whole area, and they say they are a leader within Europe, and equally the opposition, I mean, united in accusing them of slow walking this deliberately.
Yeah, and I think you can see that, given the level of promises that were made during the general election, and then the immediate aftermath, there was clearly an attempt to slow this legislation down for technical reasons, they said, to amend it. But that probably is running out of road now. At the very least, you'll have to see where this is going before the summer recess, and probably see proposals before an Oireachtas committee.
Mm. OK. Anything else around this week, or have you all been...
I think it was notable that the Social Democrats did have a reshuffle today, and Sinead Gibney, who is clearly one of the most high-profile people to be returned for that party, no longer holds the foreign affairs position now. She is arts, media, enterprise, which does still have defence. So instead, Senator Patricia Stevenson is promoted from the Shannon to that fairly high profile foreign affairs role now. All of that in the context of Sinead Gibney being asked repeatedly if she would leave the party should Owen Hayes return to the fold, something she described as a hypothetical. But it does seem strange. Again, going back to that meeting last Saturday at the Irish Neutrality League, Sinead Gibney is one of the big speakers there on a foreign affairs issue, that somehow she would no longer hold that role.
Kieran O'Callaghan saying, of course, he didn't think she was cheesed off by that move. But as Micheál said, she's been very outspoken and very clear on it and very informed on it. So it is, from, I suppose, our perspective, a little unnerving to see her moved.
And 2 weeks to another break, is that right? There'll be a week's recess in 2 weeks' time?
2 weeks, give or take, until the next break. I know some people might be looking at that and saying, has it all really sat at all? Is it whenever it seems to get up and running this year since the election, it seems to take another bit of time off again. Obviously, the committees are now just about up and running, and just when they're about to be, well, have another couple of weeks off now. You know, TDs will say, well, this structure's already been in place, this is the calendar, but I don't think that plays too well among voters.
There's a curious contrast still, isn't there, between the scale of the issues in front of us. You know, you look at the wars going on in the world, you look at the economic crises, the tariffs, so much on the line, possibly, you know, a recession, who knows. And at the same time, there's almost a... Is leisurely the right word feel to the political dynamic in here?
Yes, because business has been concluded earlier than scheduled, lots of evenings, and things around the committee level are only getting going, and you don't sense that before the summer too much work will be done. That usually happens at this point of the year anyway, but I suppose what is different is that you're coming in the aftermath of an election and you would have expected there would be greater urgency. So for that reason, it does seem a bit odd that this thing really is just trickling its way out over the line to the summer recess.
I do feel some of that, it is after an election, it is the time of year, but some of it is because the committees haven't been in place. So that kind of extra energy, that kind of like focused intent that maybe is there from committees, given the fact it's been missing for so long, it's maybe created maybe a perception of lethargy in Leinster House, which may or may not be accurate, but it is certainly a perception that is there.
And I think within the government then itself, within the structures, I think that does raise questions. That doesn't look as cohesive as it was 5 years ago when there was that great binding force of COVID that got minds fairly focused. So for all those reasons, I think there's a different dynamic in government at the moment that probably will only be really tested or changed when you see the big impact from the tariffs or potential tariffs.
Yes, and when you see how that shapes the budget and who gets the upper hand and what rows in the run-up to what's going to be a trickier budget than we've seen for a long, long time, I'd say.
Yes, because even if you don't have the cost of living package, there would still have to be some nod surely towards taxation. And if that becomes difficult to deliver as well, well, then there is a tension.
There is a tension. Well, there we leave it. We'll leave you go off and enjoy the summer sunshine because it's due to last for another while. So enjoy it while it does. I bet you it'll be raining by the time they get to that point of recess at the beginning of June. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Till then, goodbye.